Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. How you doing, Liz?
How you doing, Sarah? Great.
I forgot how to conduct normal conversations.
You're like talking to yourself. How you doing? I'm good.
Great. Day 20.
Is it day 20? Because
Tomorrow is Tuesday and we came here on Tuesday. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks that we're here. Yeah. In Philly.
Holy crap. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like 20 days.
It really doesn't. It feels like shorter than that. But then when I try to think back about the last time I was in New York, I'm like... I guess that feels like a while, you know, but I think the days are really long, but then the days are long, but the weeks are short, but also sometimes the days aren't long. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I look down, I'm like, oh my God, it's 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Today's gone pretty quickly, I would say.
Yeah.
But do you want to start with Peek and Pit?
Sure. Let's do Peek and Pit. So as Sarah and I reflected on last week, we have been, well, Sarah did it the first weekend, like keeping Shabbat lightly. So that means, you know, like turning off cell phones. A lot of people won't turn on lights and stuff. So limiting electricity, not really like getting in cars, but we did get in a car this weekend, but we didn't drive. Chris drove to Maryland, and this is both my pit and my peak because
we went to Maryland. I thought we were in Delaware. I had no idea where we were. I just got in the car and then all of a sudden I was like, we're in Philly, right? And no, we were like at University of Delaware.
Yeah. Well, we drove through Delaware to get to Maryland. Like we stopped at Wawa. And so we went on like a little hike. Fair Hill is like a training ground for horses, but they also have a really beautiful premises. So there's like woods that you can hike in. And my pit was thinking that we were going to get lost in the woods and my shoes getting muddy. And I don't know how many people listen to the podcast that ever go hiking with, like, you know, your dads, your boyfriends, your husbands, because sometimes they're just like really annoying. And I was complaining about my shoes because I really wasn't wearing shoes for hiking. And I knew that it would be a little muddy, but I thought like it, you know, we could avoid the mud. Like it's a reasonable thought. I didn't bring hiking shoes to quarantine. And Chris was like, come on. And I was just like so angry that my shoes were muddy and that we were walking around and I'd be like, Chris, you know where we're going? And he's like, nope, but we're hopefully going back. And I was just mad because I'm a planner and I've been needing to learn how to be better about that during this time because there's literally nothing to plan.
And just to add on to that, like we didn't have our phones because we weren't using our phones.
So we were just depending on Chris and Ty. Like
we were like, where are we? Like, where are we on the map? Are we close? Are we almost back at the car? Like we just had no idea where we were.
Yeah.
And it was really just like relying on them 100% to get us back to our original destination. And let me tell you, it took 2 hours.
Yeah. But then my peak was finishing the hike because I felt comforted to know that we were about to get back in the car and we were fine, but also it was just like a really beautiful hike. Like I know I was frustrated for a lot of it, but the weather was really nice, which we kept talking about. We basically avoided all rain. Like it was kind of raining on and off during the day, and there was just like a nice stream, and I've always heard that when you hear water it can be really calming, so I was trying to like take that in, especially on Shabbat. I didn't have my phone. So it was really, really nice. And I am glad that we got to like be out in nature a little bit because I think we all needed it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify to anyone who may be concerned, we didn't see people.
Oh, yeah. We didn't see
anyone. It was like a really, really open, open space of nature.
Yeah, it was fully the woods.
It was just like the woods. We weren't coming in contact with people. It was literally just us four.
Yeah.
Walking, going on a hike. And so we didn't really like see any. I just wanted to clarify that we didn't see anyone. Like we were still quarantined in our own, like the four of us.
We were staying socially distant from everyone besides the people we've been isolating with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So my pit was, so just like Liz, I didn't use my phone for Shabbat this weekend. I, you know, as Liz said, really like turned my phone off. I don't really use I didn't use electricity. I didn't turn the oven on. I didn't touch the bathroom lights. Like, really, you know, I think we did a really great job this weekend. Mm-hmm. But with that, I'm not able to speak to my parents. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really gives me a pit during this whole COVID pandemic because, like, I'm always concerned about how they're doing. And I know this is, like, a constant fear of mine, but this Saturday, like I really felt it. I was really anxious about how they were doing, and I just wanted an update. Like, I was having a hard time just telling myself, like, okay, it's just one day. I spoke to them last night. I'll speak to them tonight, but just not being able to just say, like, how's everyone feeling at home? How you guys doing? It was difficult, and I really had to, like, practice the tools that my therapist has taught me mm-hmm. and just consider different options than worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and it helped. And also just being able to be outside in nature all as a group was really nice, and it was really fun, and it was a good day. So so that was fine, but that was definitely a pit of mine. And then my peak was this game that we played on Saturday night. I posted it on my Instagram story, and it ended up, people DM'd me all different types of names for the game. I heard, like, pizza yeah. box. And so this game, essentially what you do is you have a piece of cardboard. I guess that's why people call it pizza box.
Or just box.
Box, yeah. Whatever. So you have this cardboard, and then each person, you go in a circle, and each person takes a turn flipping a coin. And then when the coin lands on the box, you have to write a rule where the coin landed on.
Yeah.
And then once you start making rules, eventually you have all these rules on the board, and then you flip the coin and it lands on a different rule, and then you have to do the rule. Mm-hmm. So some of our rules were like 10 squats, take a shot, like finish your drink. Towards the end of the night, Liz kept just like writing down, like, share something nice about the person to your left, or like
share something that makes you anxious.
Yeah, share something that makes you anxious. And like by the end of the night, we had been playing for like literally 3 hours. And by the end of the night, Liz was just like, oh my gosh, look at that. The coin landed on share a secret. Chris, why don't you share a secret with us? And it was just so funny and so much fun. And like, we really, like, you wouldn't even know it was 2 a.m. We were all just having so much fun. At least mm-hmm. I was. Mm-hmm. And so that was a peak of mine. Had a really nice time. And despite being in quarantine and despite missing some parts of my normal life, it's nice to still be able to have fun with our situation.
Agreed. And we also got McDonald's, which was a peak, but I was mm-hmm. pretty drunk, so I forgot about it. But yeah. It was really fun. And I'm also just laughing because I think if you people know me, you know that I like making people like talk about their feelings. So but also it was funny because I kept landing on share something that makes you anxious. So I had to think of like 8 different specific
and it was
things.
Honest too.
It was honest because at first I was like, you know, like my parents like not being here anymore. And Ty was like, that applies to everyone. Like pick a different one. And I was like, okay. And then I would be like, yeah, when Chris like does this one thing, it makes me super anxious. And then everyone was just like clued into it.
Yeah. So it got really honest.
It was really fun. And I liked making people say nice things about me and each other because
yeah,
that's my,
the boys were honest too, thing. Which I liked.
Yeah.
Ty said that I was understanding.
You are.
Yeah.
He's like, so cute. He's yeah. like, he couldn't make eye contact. He's like, you're just, everyone knew Sarah's just like really understanding. I'm like, really
he's like, you
listener.
Listen. Yeah. He's like, you're a really good listener. I was looking right at him being like, thank yes. you so much.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't look at me, but yeah, it was really fun.
So with that, today we are releasing 2 separate episodes. The first being an interview with our friend, fellow toaster, Tracy Wilk. And the second you'll hear is with a man named Dr. Regu Apasani. But we just wanted to give you a little bit of context because we're releasing 2 slightly shorter episodes today. But we wanted to keep, you know, just give you more content, but keep them, you know, I'm not going to say keep them separate, but we wanted to just give you more content. So we're excited about that. So to give you a little bit of an introduction to Tracy, we met her through the Jewish toaster community, which has been awesome, and through our friend Alana, our momager Alana. She's also become Tracy's momager. She's everyone's momager. Tracy Wilk is a chef, educator, and recipe developer, and recently a viral sensation. Tracy graduated from the University of Central Florida and was trained by National Gourmet Institute. Tracy worked in numerous New York restaurants before ultimately earning a spot as a lead recreational instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education. So Tracy's going to talk a little bit more about that in the episode and her furlough and how she's managed to care for herself and others during this challenging time through her initiative, Bake It Forward. So it's been really exciting. I mean, it's funny because mm-hmm. Tracy did like all this press, like she did GMA
yeah.
and she was like, we saw a ton of newspaper articles about her. And then she was like, she came on, it's fine, I'm fine in the end. And we were like,
we felt like so cool.
We were so special.
Yeah. No, she's so great though. And we had such a nice time speaking with her.
Yeah.
I think we interviewed her on Friday.
Thursday. Yeah.
But it felt like it was just relaxing.
It was a Friday vibe.
To her. Yeah, it was a Friday vibe.
And I'll include a trigger warning in this episode, but we do touch on suicide a little bit. So I wanted to give people listening, just a heads up that that's part of the discussion. But we do talk about a number of other things mm-hmm. as well. And I think it's a really enriching and positive episode. Tracy's doing a lot with just like within her community. And I love her story. I think it's like relatable, but mm-hmm. also really inspiring yeah. at the same time.
Totally agree.
So with that, enjoy the show.
Enjoy. Hey Tracy, how are you?
So wait, I want to intro you because obviously we know you, but yes, some of our listeners might not. So today we are talking to Chef Tracy Wilk, who we actually connected with again, obviously through the Morning Toast community. She's a fellow college toaster, New York toaster, but otherwise I'm going to let you take the reins and tell everyone a little bit about yourself, kind of what you're doing now and what you did before and your journey with mental health. I know that's like so much all at once, but I trust that you can kind of convey this in a good way because you've been doing press like this whole day.
Today's been like a very busy day.
Before you start, you're famous. Okay, continue.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you guys. I am a chef in New York. I've been a chef for about 10 years now. I cooked primarily in restaurants, and about 2 years ago, I transitioned to teaching, and a lot of that has to do with my mental health journey, so I think that's important to fold that in. And then about 2 weeks ago, I was furloughed, like all of America, living the furlough life. I was teaching at the Institute of Culinary Education, and it's been great, and I completely understand the furlough. There's no hostility. It's all due to the fact that we can't operate right now.
Right.
Totally.
So I was furloughed, and I kind of like knew it was going to be happening because we were closed for at least a week already. I knew I would go crazy and not do well mentally, physically, emotionally, all the things if I didn't have something to do. So I started baking, which is like standard behavior for me, but instead of just baking for myself, I live alone. I don't really need like 2 dozen cookies in my apartment by myself every day. I'll bake them for you next.
Thank you.
I posted on another toasters group. I said, hey guys, like this is weird, but like I'm a bored pastry chef. Would you guys accept like deliveries from like a chef in my apartment? And the response was incredible. And everyone was like, please, yes, me, I want them. So I was like, all right. And it really just took off from there. And I've been doing this project called Bake It Forward. I now have about 25 deliveries scheduled and I've raised over $3,000.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool.
How did you come up with that?
I feel like I'm making up a story and people are like, oh, she's saying this for press. No, it's like 100% true. I was bored. I have struggled with anxiety and depression really my whole life. And I have to have a schedule. I have to have kind of a project or I'll just literally be on my couch rewatching Grey's Anatomy for the 20th time. Mm-hmm. Which is like also a really bad show to watch during a pandemic.
Totally.
Staying far away.
Yeah. It's my favorite show, but like don't recommend right now. I just have been keeping myself busy with that. And everyone's like, oh, you're so kind, which is to me the biggest compliment. But it started because I knew I had to protect my mental health and give myself something to do.
Totally.
I think a lot of people are struggling with that right now, whether, you know, they're people who have been unemployed, who are furloughed, or even people who are working from home and they're still like, well, everyone's doing something. I need to do something with my idle hands. So I think it's awesome that you've been able to not only find something that's been occupying you and your mind and like keeping you healthy, but also like you're contributing so much to mm-hmm. like healthcare workers and just to morale in general. I think people being able to hear these types of stories is so critical at mm-hmm. a time like this.
Right. People are looking for inspiration.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think people are looking, one, for good news. And I also want to say that I think part of the problem of the many, many layers of the problem with the pandemic is people feel like they have to be high functioning or doing their best. And that is not true. I'm not doing my best. It's not like I have this like concrete schedule. I just know that I have a delivery every day and I have to make cookies. And for me, that's really relaxing. That's like literally my dream job, so to speak. So it's not that I was like, oh, I need to be productive. I just knew that I had to not like wallow in my self-pity because I wasn't laid off because I'm a bad employee.
So I actually have so many questions for you. I guess I'll start with, what I want to know first is tell us about the press and like that you've been getting, because that's been really exciting. And how did they hear about what you're doing?
That's actually to me been like the really cool payoff. And they always say like, oh, you know, you do good things, you get good things back. I did not do it for press. I genuinely did it so I could feel in some way like I was making somewhat of a difference and making people happy.
Right.
But of course, press comes back to the toast. I worked with, it's really just all about the toast, guys.
Always.
I worked with a toaster who was a journalist for CBS. And actually my first delivery was a nurse at NYU, which is my local hospital. And she was also a toaster. So it felt like this really cool community of actually, we're saying toasters, but really New Yorkers just trying to be kind to each other. Mm-hmm. And it just took off from there. And I mean, to wake up this morning and be on Good Morning America, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like,
That happen? They reached out to you?
Through mutual friends of PR, essentially, like contacts. Amazing. But really it happened by, I would say, having the cojones, which I did not have 2 years ago. And with truly dealing with my mental health, I've been more confident and I feel like I can speak up for myself. And 2 years ago, I would never have reached out for press ever. Now I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I've raised $2,000 at that time. And I think people want to hear about it because I think it's really, really cool.
Amazing. How has your mental health changed over the last 2 years? Have you been like working on it personally, or was there like a drastic change?
All the above.
Okay.
Where do we begin? Do we have like 7 years?
I mean, we have all the time that you, okay, that's a lie, but we have time. So please enlighten us.
So first of all, I worked in a restaurant. So I think that's, again, really important to mention because restaurants and food, the whole industry, mental health is not our top priority. You finish a shift that's really rough. You do 200, 300 covers. You're like beat physically and emotionally, and then you go out for a drink. And I enjoy alcohol. I'm drinking a glass of wine right now.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But there's a difference of drinking, you know, to relax and enjoy, and because you're in a pandemic, and drinking to forget about the day. Mm-hmm. Those are radical differences. So that's when I was in my young 20s and just kind of living the kitchen life. And like, you don't talk about feelings, you don't complain, like all of that is looked down upon. Fast forward, I'm in restaurants. I'm now an executive pastry chef, la-di-da, still crying every day, just to clarify. Love to cry.
Good.
Having anxiety attacks like all too often. But really, the real trigger for me in real talk is that my dad committed suicide in 2017. And going through that and knowing that I was in restaurants in a really hostile environment, I was like, you got to get your shit together. Can I curse? Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. We're safe. So it really propelled me to deal with kind of my own, I don't even like the word demons because I think that makes it seem negative. It's just my own reality of my brain. Like this is the brain that I was given with. Like I can't fix it.
I love that too. I mean, I think it's like we can use like all types of words to describe the things that go on in our brain. But at the end of the day, like it's our brain. And mm-hmm. I think being able to address our anxiety like it's part of us is actually not harmful, and people are like afraid to say that. But like it's kind of just your brain like working overtime when it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And like learning how to take the part of your brain that's learned and is logical to like combat the part of your brain that can sometimes just like overreact a little bit.
Totally.
You
and
know
I,
what I mean?
And I think a if little we look bit. At it as I think if we look at it as like an external thing happening, we're like, okay, fight it off. If we're like, okay, this is a part of me, this is just a voice that I know is there. It's a part of me. I'm just going to let it talk. I'm just going to let it sit there. I know it's there. I don't need to fight it away, but I also don't need to listen to it.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's what I'm working on right now.
Right. I don't have to always like dial into it. Like,
right.
I can definitely, I've learned like how to pull back or be like, okay, that is crazy. Like I think actually the pandemic is a great example. Like, we are going through something we never thought that we would. And it's actually probably the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And like, here we are. And, you know, thinking or having those anxious thoughts of X, Y, and Z can happen. It's actually not that weird anymore. And it actually could happen. But we have to deal with it. It's not going to go away. Although I really hope it does.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, if you're comfortable talking about a little bit about like the journey you had with your dad and after he passed away, I kind of want to know like the journey from there and how you dealt with that. Same.
Absolutely. And actually another podcast that I recorded about a month and a half ago came out today, and it's all about grief and food and the intersection. And I go into like pretty deep details about my dad because of that. It's like fresh on my mind and like I've learned to cope with it. But dealing with that kind of reality, for me, it was a lot of anger. And I had to learn how to be a family again with my family because everything was messed up. So because my mental health obviously like went off the deep end, as it should, I had to really like learn to rein it in. And I realized I was more confident in saying I needed help because I had distinct like proof that this is in my genes. And like for me now, the rest of my life, and this is something that I've spoken about with my family, I have to always check off at the doctor's office, like my dad died and cause of death. So it doesn't matter anymore if, you know, we always use the terms in our culture, like, oh, my anxiety, or like, oh, my OCD.
Right.
Like, actually, those things are real. They're not comical. And like you wanting to line up the jewelry beads in an order, that's not like your cute OCD. Like you actually not being able to function if the wrong numbers on the clock, that's OCD. Mm-hmm. And because I think I have that actual medical history now, it doesn't matter how I paint the picture. This is a fact. Mm-hmm. I now feel like I have to confront it.
Totally.
Yeah. I really like what you said because I don't know. I think like Sarah and I talk a lot about how like anxiety is kind of like a buzz term, and I don't always like that it's a buzz term, because while I do like that more people are having these conversations, I don't like that the terminology is used in a way that's like dismissive of people who actually have issues functioning so much so that it dilutes like the actual problem. And then when tragedies occur, it's like a lot of people may not have seen it coming, or they may have trouble like identifying it as it happens, because now that like the words are so common in our society, it's like harder to identify when to take it seriously and when not to. So I really like what you said about like kind of the difference between the two phenomenons.
Absolutely. And like I still have anxiety. Like I'm not my anxiety. Like I'm not any of those things, but I still have my anxiety. The only difference of dealing with my anxiety has been now like I'm able to function with my anxiety. It's mm-hmm. no longer crippling and ruining my life. So it's not a magic pill. It's like not a special therapist. Those are just tools.
Right. Totally. And it is important to work on those tools. And I know personally for me, like I used to think that I thought it was going to be a quick fix when I first discovered that I had anxiety. I was like, okay, well now that I've, you know, discovered that I have it, like quick, how do we get it? Or how do I fix it?
Right.
And then I realized like on the first day that I ever went to a therapist, she was like, you do realize that like, you're not going to leave today being like quote unquote cured. I was like, oh, it does take a lot of hard work, and it is important that we acknowledge like people have anxiety. And as you said, we aren't defined by our anxiety, but we have it, and it's something to work on. So what like tools have you used or learned to help you with your mental health?
So I think a really big change for me was leaving restaurants. I'm not at all saying like restaurants suck. They're great. They were my entire bread and butter for all of my 20s, but I needed to get a job where I was able to kind of gain control of my life again. So whatever that means for you, for me, it was not working 14 hours a day, six mm-hmm. days a week. Wow. So that was a really big change for me. Obviously therapy was great. The only negative statement I have, and I know you guys talk about it, is it's expensive.
Yeah,
and it's really, really hard, especially I think in New York. So I take my therapy that I had a privilege to go, and I'm still not able to continue it because my insurance doesn't cover it. What a surprise. And I feel like I got those tools in my box, and I know how to use them, and I know now what to do if my box collapses, or whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
New York has actually done, or Cuomo has actually done a really good job, like promoting mental health and all of this, thank goodness, because it's like, it seems like people are pushing that to the wayside in favor of the physical care, which of course is critical. Like, this whole virus is physical care, but also like the mental health toll that it's taking on people, both who have been afflicted with the virus, you know, the close relatives, and also just people sitting in their homes trying to self-isolate, is a really, really big deal. So I appreciate like exactly what you're saying. And I like thinking of it as a privilege, because it definitely is. And also I think if you're able to pay for it, or if you're able to at some point, like if you have insurance that covers it, hopefully, you know, all of this will change and people will continue to remain insured, or will get insured again, is I think being able to think of it as something that's a privilege, or like something that you have to pay for, may actually help you to take it really seriously and be like, I'm like, I need to actually work on this, because I'm investing my time and my money. But
so exactly how I viewed it was, it's, I mean, if you're going to one of the higher price like sessions or doctors in New York, it's literally more expensive than an entire meal.
Yep.
So for me, it was like, this is a privilege and I'm going to take it really, really seriously, which is why I think I was able to improve. And I think it's why I also knew, once again, like I knew my furlough was coming. I wasn't like, oh no, where did this come from out of the blue?
Right.
But I was not surprised. I was still obviously bummed. I think anyone is upset to lose their job. But I knew that if I did not do something about it, I knew it was going to be on the other side for me. And I don't think if I didn't seek care previously, I would have known that. I would have just been like, oh, I'll just clean every single day until this pandemic is over.
Yeah.
Which I love cleaning, but like, that's not super productive after a while.
What are the kind of tools that you've learned, you know, COVID-19 aside, that have helped you manage your daily anxiety?
Talking about it has been super helpful, and learning to ask for help.
Yeah.
That's also been a really big one for me. And figuring out like who's in your box. And like I said, for me, because the big shift in my life was losing my dad, at first you have all this outpouring of support and I'm not anything but grateful for it. But then if you've ever been through serious grief or trauma, weeks pass, months pass, and you know, everyone gets busy with their own lives again, which makes perfect sense. But I needed support really not the first year, because the first year you're on complete panic, flight or flight mode. I needed support the second year. And now I know exactly who's in my toolbox. And I mean this not in condescending. I just know you both personally, like you're both younger than me. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. And I remember when I was your age, I feel like I'm being so old now, but it's true. Like I was like, I know exactly who my friends are. And the older you get, the smaller your circle is going to become. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're younger, especially if you have any younger listeners in high school, you think those are the most important people in your life. Learning who your people are and your tribe is the most valuable thing.
I completely agree with that. I remember when I was younger, I used to think that the more friends you had, like the better it felt to, you just had like a large circle. And even in high school, I remember that we had, there were like 15 of us in a friend group, and my parents would be like, all right, but like, who are your best friends? I'm like, they're all my best friends. but you know, as the years go on, especially when it comes to diving deeper into what's important and how you're feeling, and especially if you're struggling with, let's say, anxiety or depression. If I remember when I was like actually going through a depression, you know, it was difficult for me to have friends that I felt like I couldn't actually go to about it. And that really like cut down my circle, because I was like, okay, who are the people that are really like here, that are holding my hand physically, emotionally, and are just, they want to get to know the ins and outs of me, and are really here for support. And then over the years, you really do learn that it's quality over quantity always.
100%. And to anybody that's listening, I really mean this. If you have the feeling when you pick up that phone of you're bothering that person when you call them with your anxiety attack, or they can't respond to your text about anxiety, but only about your text about the Bloomingdale's sale or whatever it is, that person's not your friend.
Yeah.
And cut them out now. So like, you would rather have one person you can call. And if you don't have one person, you can call me, you can call Sarah, you can call Liz.
Just 100%. So true. And you know, that's honestly the beauty of, not to like toot our own horns, but like that's the beauty of podcasts sometimes, is that like,
absolutely,
sometimes you feel like maybe you aren't sure how to speak to your friends about certain things, like if you've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully by listening to just like an episode like this, someone might feel more empowered to either reach out to one of us or maybe speak to their friend about it, or just not feel so alone in their struggle. So, you know, I think that it's nice to have like people who, I'm not trying to be like, it's nice to have us, but like, it's nice to like,
nice to have podcasts.
You have people that bring you up. Like for me, and I've shared this with the Ashrays. I've met some of them at SoulCycle, nice. Musical venue, that they were a huge part of a light for me when I was really going through it. And I had friends, don't get me wrong, like, yeah, very grateful for those who were there for me, but I really wasn't able to laugh. And if you've been through a depression, like you're not laughing. And like, you're just kind of walking through life. But then every day on my way to work, I put on the toast and it was an escape. So find whatever that is for you and ask for help. And this too shall pass.
100%. I love that.
I think also what you said, even though you were specifically talking about grief and like the years following your father's death, I think one of the lessons that people can learn from that incident, you know, just in terms of what we're all going through right now, is like the importance of reaching out to people, even if you think they might not need it. Like,
absolutely.
I think it's just, I actually will never forget. There was a member of like my community who passed away when he was very young. And my rabbi was talking about how in Judaism, like we have, that's what Sarah and you and I know, is like, we have the days following death, Shiva, sure, and like, and all the mourning periods. Right. It's like you're supposed to be together with everyone, eating, yeah, drinking, like,
and you should be mourning fully. There's no pretending not to.
Right. Exactly.
Right after.
Right.
But there's like the period immediately following where you're surrounded by people and it's just like all a days. And then there's like the months and the years that pass that people kind of go on about their merry way. Exactly what you were saying. And that's the time when like everyone else's life seems to resume and you're kind of left with, you know, questions and confusion and pain. And so I think while I'm talking about grief specifically right now, a lot of people may feel alone and unsure of how to proceed. So if you're currently able, it's a really good idea to reach out to people that you love, even if you're like, they might be fine, like just call them. And if they feel fine, like that's okay. You can also have a really good conversation, you know?
Right. And that's why I think you as well. Great. It might help you. It's helped me a lot. Like I think the one, I'm not trying to like spin this positively, like COVID-19 sucks and I hope this is over literally in the next 5 minutes, but it's our, I'm so over it, but it's our reality. And like, we have to use what we have. So like we have FaceTime, we can do Zoom happy hours. Is that my preferred choice? No, but like me and my best friends from high school did one all together and we actually all felt better after. Mm-hmm. And that stuff is really important, and checking on the friend that you think is okay. Maybe that friend is saying that they're fine, that their job laid them off and they're just, you know, doing well, but they're probably not.
Right.
Right.
It's so true.
Have you, so you live alone in New York City, right?
Studio life, best life.
So during this COVID situation, like how has it been? Like, do you feel like you've just been consuming more content, videoing friends more, or do you like really enjoy the alone time?
So I'm lucky because I do like being alone. So like, I'm happy I'm in a studio. I really admire that, like Sarah, I'm assuming you're at Liz's boyfriend's apartment, something like that.
Yes.
I was nervous about being alone.
Got it. And so there's people that don't like being alone, and I respect that 100%. Mm-hmm. And definitely would have been me in like college. I would have wanted to be with somebody, but I could have gone to my mom's, for example, but then I'm like with my mom for 2 months, which I love her. That's a lot of time with my mom.
Yeah.
Totally. So whoever you chose to quarantine with is a really big commitment.
Absolutely. Like,
so there's that factor, but I like being alone, but yeah, I FaceTime my friends to be like, I need to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why, again, this Bake It Forward movement, I every day I wake up and I know I have something to do. Mm-hmm. So even though I usually bake the stuff the night before, I know that I'm going to like go out for fresh air and make someone happy for 5 seconds. which it might be a really hard day for them, the hospital or at the firehouse or wherever they work. So that's really, really important to me.
It's beautiful.
I think also what you're talking about is something we encourage people to do a lot, which is like sometimes helping other people and like reaching out and being a force of like hope for them is actually like the thing that can help heal you the most. So whether it's like selfless or selfish, I'm not sure, but you can help more than just yourself by doing things like that.
Yeah.
No, that's why I think it's so funny. Like Sarah was like, you're getting so much press, which is like obviously a huge plus and like great,
right.
But I really did do this. I don't want to say selfishly, cause that's not really like, wasn't my vibe, but my goal was so I didn't go insane.
Right.
And then it turned out to become this way bigger selfless project. But my original goal was, okay, I don't want to get really like, I don't want to get myself sick eating 100 cookies.
Right.
But I need to do something before I go crazy. And the one thing I know how to do is cook.
Right.
And then here we are.
Well, I think that makes complete sense. Like everything, it's not selfish at all. If it helps you, and everyone's looking for something to do right now during these trying times, that's going to help them. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people are trying to figure out what to do that's going to help them with their mental health at this time. So if doing what makes you happy and what you're passionate about is helping you during this time, then that's exactly what you should do. And that's not selfish. But the fact that there's a bonus, there's two bonuses. One, your passion is cooking and baking. And with that, you've decided to help other people. So that's a beautiful part of doing what you love to do in isolation.
Right.
You're helping others. And then on top of that, you're getting press out of it, which is really cool and another amazing bonus.
Which to me is like the circle of life. Like you do something good, you do get something back, and
you're making it forward.
You have to be confident in yourself. And I really can't stress again to anyone like listening, I could have not done this 2-3 years ago. And that's really been, for me, the press is like, yes, it's cool. I'm not going to take away from that. But the fact that I was able to get someone to build my website for me, I have business cards, and like, I finally have this project I've been talking about for 10 years and it's live. I'm like, finally. Okay. So it took all these things and all those things in my toolkit to make that happen. And you would never think it's because I finally dealt with anxiety, depression, ADHD, and like slight OCD,
mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. All those beautiful things together.
It's amazing also that you're able to like recognize and acknowledge your own growth. Like that's really important and really amazing. And, you know, I'm really happy for you.
Yeah. What you're doing is awesome. So can you tell our listeners a little bit, like maybe where they can find you on Instagram, your website, so that they can find you?
That'd be great.
Right. Exactly.
Definitely. Hopefully soon I'm employed again, so you can hang out with me. It would be great, but we can't hang out with people currently. My Instagram is Chef Tracy Wilk. My website is cheftracywilk.com. And that's really all I use. So
awesome.
Amazing. There's really nowhere else to find me.
You can
go on my Twitter, but I don't tweet.
Have you ever considered TikTok? Yeah.
I just started talking. I'm a big TikTok talker. So I love watching the talk. I have like 3 videos.
You will be making the talks soon. You will be taking the talks.
So Alana Paris, aka Everyone's Momager, she's been helping me. It's very hard, especially if you're over 30. TikTok is very, very, very hard.
Trust me, it's not just over 30. It's over 21.
Yeah.
It's really a strange place. And personally for me, and I think for Liz as well, that has been how we've been – like finding laughter and happiness in these times, because it's a really fun
100%.
Place. So
TikTok is a really fun place. And what I love about it, I teach a lot of kids classes, like kids baking and cooking. And there's one day during the 5-day camp that we always have like a little bit of lag time. And as a teacher, like I know it's a part of it. It's kind of like a part of the lesson. So this year though, they were really, really fast. And I was like, great. Now we have 45 minutes. Nothing. So I told the kids, I'm like, you guys can go on TikTok if you want, like whatever. And I, at that point, did not know what the app was. I was just like, please don't be like anything bad.
Yeah.
And I saw what they were doing. I obviously had my eyes on them the whole time. And they were just dancing to music. And I'm like, that's 100% fine. They were doing it together as a group. So they're like working with each other in person.
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn a dance? Like, cool. And I like that it's like to me, it seems like a safe app. It's mm-hmm. not at all negative. I don't see a lot of bullying, and I'm like, more of that in the world.
Totally. I mean, there is a little bit of bullying, but
for the most part, though. Like, even if you took the app away, that's like exists in humanity.
No, for the most part, it's very like the whole point of it is taking it's collaborating and also like collaborating digitally and also like anyone in the world can have a good idea and then the whole world can build off of that idea and recreate their own. And it's, there's no such thing as like copying on TikTok. It's like you're sharing other's ideas and like recreating other people's ideas. So it's really cool. I love it.
Same. So there's some cooking videos on there and it's also Chef Tracy Wilk. Awesome. I'll try to get better, guys. Give me some time.
No worries at all. I was going to say you have all the time in the world, but like, hopefully we don't. Like,
hopefully we don't. And I keep saying this to everybody. I'm the busiest unemployed person because these cookies take a lot of time.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Keeping yourself busy.
Yeah, I keep laughing. I'm like, I would make a business that makes no money. Perfect. And I should say also, any extra funds are going to City Harvest, which is New York City's food bank. So I keep asking any donations I am happily accepting because my goal is to donate at least half of the money to City Harvest.
Beautiful.
Because they help those who are food insecure, especially right now with all these layoffs. We really need to help each other out.
Thank you so much for saying Tracy. That. All right. Thanks, guys. This has been so fun.
We hope we get to see you soon.
Let's hang out after this quarantine.
Maybe in person. Too soon.
I know.
Yeah.
Bye, Tracy.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Talk soon.
So we hope you enjoyed that episode with Tracy.
You can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. Twitter, Liz Tweets 5. You can follow the pod on Twitter as well. It's Fine I'm Fine PD. Sarah, where can people find you?
You can find me Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
All the apps.
I got to meet a Nancy.
I have one for you to meet.
You do?
I'll introduce you to her virtually.
I would love to.
Okay.
She's my inspiration.
She is the moment.
Insta, Twitter, TikTok. You know where to find me. And with that, you know, let us know your comments, thoughts, opinions. No, actually, don't.
Please, don't leave us alone. Just kidding. Oh, my God. Please DM us if you're, like, feeling sad, uneasy,
anxious. Always, please.
But if you ever have, like, a mean thing to say to us, just, you know what, put it on a little note on your phone and then don't send it anywhere.
Yeah,
because we don't need to see that.
We would love, like,
love letters.
Love letters. Tell us how – no, I'm just kidding.
Tell us how awesome we are.
Anyway – realistically, please reach out to us if you need anything at all. We're here. Our DMs are always open and we'd love to speak to anyone who wants to talk. So with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.